in Colossians 2, 6. I'm going to read the scripture that we ended on last time. So Colossians 2, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. The next scripture, or a couple scriptures, we're going to get to what, you know, the main point. But I want to recap what we were talking about last week. Colossians 2, verse 6. It says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of Him, of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." So we read that at the end. There's so much there you could spend weeks just on those scriptures. But the thing we were talking about last week is that Jesus is risen. And because He's risen, we are risen with Him. And because we are raised with Him, we are seated with Him. We are in victory with Him. In verse 12, it says, "In which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Notice there, He's forgiven you all trespasses. That's aside, but He's already forgiven us of everything. So we were talking about that He has made us alive because of that He was risen. And so that's where we were spending most of our time. Because He's made us alive, He's also, because we've been made alive with Him, because we've been made righteous with Him, then everything else follows from that. Because we've been made alive, because we're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then all the benefits of that covenant are ours. So Romans 6, 5 through 11, let's turn over there quick. We're going to read a scripture there, and then we're going to get to the main point of what we're saying today. Romans 6, 5. Romans 6, 5. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him, for the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, we are raised with Him. We are alive with Him. We are dead to sin, just like Jesus. He said, for verse 10, "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So God has raised us. He seated us in heavenly places with Him. He's taken care of sin. Sin is not an issue for the Christian. If we go and do stuff that's wrong, it's just dumb, but it doesn't change our relationship with God. We are still righteous. We are still in the covenant. We still have everything that we need taken care of because of Jesus. He's died once for all. He's forgiven us of everything. So we've been raised with Him. We live this life. Now He says in verse 11, "Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And back in that He lives to God. Verse 10, "For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God." And so let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5:14 and we'll get to the main point. So Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. So because of what Jesus did, we have he raised us along with him. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but he took us and he planted us firmly in the family of God. He raised us together with him. We are dead to sin. We live to him. We don't live to sin anymore. We don't live to our old ways anymore. We are alive with God. And because we're alive with God now, we have a new life that we can live. So 2 Corinthians 5:14, it's like, so what do we do with that new life? Let's go 2 Corinthians 5 verse, let's go to 12. It says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if Christ died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So we have, and we're going to go further there, but we have been raised with Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. He came and sacrificed himself for us. He was raised from the dead. We were raised for him. And he said in verse 14 then, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." And that's where I wanted to go today. It's all been done in Jesus. We've been raised in Jesus. Sin has been taken care of in Jesus. We don't have to spend our life trying to please God in the sense that, well, the Christian life is not all about some do's and don'ts, that it's just this code and this checklist, kind of like you would with your children, where you have, you know, did you go potty today, you know, in the toilet, or, you know, if they're past that stage here, that, you know, did you make your bed, did you brush your teeth, and you got this checklist, and let's see if you did everything right, then you get a star today. See, so many people put Christianity into, it's all about your performance, and that's basically it. How are you doing on your report card? And it's all about seeing if you're good enough to please God, and even if you know that it's not going to send you to hell, it's still like, that's all they're concerned with, is doing good works, doing this, doing that, so that they get a good check mark and they can feel good about themselves with God. What Jesus did is take everything that we were when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He took us and he put us firmly in the body of God and of Christ. He raised us with him and he said, "All right, sin isn't an issue anymore. Sin's taken care of. You're forgiven of everything. You are been raised in God." So he said here in verse 15 that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and rose again. See, we're past that. If we get to the if we know the foundation that we've been forgiven, that Jesus has taken care of everything, that any need we have has already been taken care of in Christ, then that's the foundation. It's like, okay, anything that comes against me, I'm Christ. Everything that he bought is mine. I don't have to go around worrying about if I'm doing bad or whatever. That's not my concern. I don't want to mess with sin because that's going to get me away from God. But it's all been taken care of. Now, what do I do? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? What should my focus be? To live unto him. What does he want me to do? He wants me, which he's going to go on here, he wants me to go on to his plan, get whatever I'm supposed to get from him, go on as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, being compelled by the love of God, that I know that Christ loves me, that I am going to love these people around me, that I'm going to do what he wants me to do, that I'm going to be an ambassador for him and go on with him to do what needs to be done in this earth. See, we're not messing with all the old, you know, just getting constantly stumbling, going around in these circles, wondering if today, you know, everything, if our prayers are going to work. No, our prayers work because Jesus died, and everything that he has provided for us is ours. I don't have to worry about what's God thinking of me. He thinks of me as he thinks of Jesus. I'm fine. So what does he want me to do? He wants me to walk in boldness and do what he wants me to do, be led by the Holy Spirit, and take this place over for God. Until he gets back, we're supposed to occupy. That's what he wants us to do. He says, so let's go on here. He says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, when we were born again and raised with God, everything's new. We are a completely new person. Verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So if you turn back real fast, well, it may be on the same page for you. So in verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us to go on. He says in verse 13, if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. But if we are a sound mind, it's for you. He's just got done. If you go back in chapter 4, Paul's talking about all the stuff that they've gone through to preach the gospel to these people. And preach, and I mean, they went through so many things. If you turn back to chapter 4, verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might also be manifest in the body. And then he skipped to verse 17. He says, for our light affliction. And if you've ever seen all this stuff Paul went through, he was stoned, he was left for dead, he was whipped, all this stuff. But he says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so he goes down, verse 7 of chapter 5. He's talking about the things of, you know, what we're going to see when we go to heaven and what we're going to see in the future. And he says in verse 7 or verse 6, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. He's talking about our spirits here in our body, and we're absent from the Lord. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so he's talking about the context that he's saying all these things that we've talked about in later in chapter 5, is he's saying all the things that we've been through to preach and all the things that we're going through. And he says then in verse 13 of chapter 5, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because if we judge thus, if one died for all, then all died. So that's where he's getting to. He says the love of God is compelling us to go on and do these things. And so then all this end of chapter 5 that we read, he's saying that we have been reconciled to God, that God, if we skip to what we just read, verse 19 of chapter 5, or go back to verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So he's saying, the love of God is compelling us to go on. The love of God, see, we know we're right with God. It's not something that we think we have this debt to God to somehow earn from him. But because we know God, and because we know what Christ did, and because we know we are in that body, we are the love of God. We can't give anything to God other than to serve him on this earth. And because he has committed to us this word of reconciliation, that we are right with God, Paul's saying, we're compelled. We're compelled to share with you. It doesn't matter if we're hard-pressed. It doesn't matter if all this pressure is coming in on us. We are going to do what God has told us to do, and we're going to share the gospel because we are now ambassadors of Christ on this earth. And we are going to go by the love of God and share it with the people around us. And that's his point that he's saying here. And that's what I wanted to focus on today is, yes, we've been raised with him. Yes, we've been given all these benefits. But now, we take it and we win the world for Christ in our world. And like we were saying earlier, you know, at the beginning of the service, it's not just one person. We can't possibly win the world by ourselves. But all of us know people that we can touch that nobody else knows. People will listen to you that won't listen to me. And there are people all over, and God has people strategically placed all over the world that if we'll just do what God has called us to do as ambassadors, you know, the ambassador to China doesn't do the same job as the ambassador to Russia of the United States government. We have ambassadors all over the country, all over the world. But they do what they're called to do, in this, if using that term, they're doing what their job description is to be an ambassador to that country. They don't worry about what the other guy's doing halfway across the world. They take care of the job that the government has given them to do. And so we, as ambassadors for Christ, we just take care of the job that God has given us to do in our families and in our communities and in our jobs, whatever. We just get our plan from God, what He is telling us to do. And as we go on and just be led by Him, we'll fulfill what He's called us to do. We don't have to worry about what the next door, what somebody else, either in our church or somebody else halfway across the world is doing. We don't have to try to be like somebody else. We don't have to try to have somebody else's job description. That just messes you up. You know, you see somebody else, if you see somebody else that does something similar to you, you know, whether it's in parenting, you can compare, you know, well, what that person's doing, you know, something better than me. Well, they might be. If they are, take instruction from it and then do your job. But don't try to be like somebody else. Your job at work, you see somebody the way somebody else is good in some certain area and you're not quite as good in that, but you're good in a different area. Just fit where you have been called and do that job. Be the ambassador that God has called you to be. And if we'll just take care of what God has called us to do, if we'll just let the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart, and because we know who we are through Christ, we just go and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I want to be the best ambassador that you can that I can be for you. And you just walk with Him and let Him lead you and guide you the way He has been leading and guide you. You'll fulfill what you're supposed to do. This part, nobody can do all this. Nobody can reach everybody. You know, we could get up and try to preach to everybody in Andover. Most people, you know, you can just go from the, you could go down to, you know, down in the middle of Boston and just preach to people. You know, most people don't listen to those people. Some people listen. They'll cut through some things, but most people just walk on by. But you know, each one of us knows somebody that nobody else maybe can reach right now. They'll listen to you, but they won't listen to me. If I told them that something came up to them and started telling them something, they'd say, who are you? Who are you to me? I don't know you. Why are you telling me what to do? We all have relationships, though, with people that God has placed there, and that if we'll just be wise, not try to preach at people, not try to be, you know, super saint or anything, but just be led by the Holy Spirit. And so many times the Holy Spirit's so much more subtle than people. You know, people want to make it all woo-woo and super, you know, a word from God, but if we'll just be us, if we'll just be who we are, and just in our life, be the person that God has created us to be, with our strengths. Don't try to be, you know, so many times the words from God, the moving of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit, and a word of wisdom, whatever, you don't have to announce that it's a word of wisdom. You don't have to announce that the Holy Spirit's moving, thus saith the Lord. You can just be speaking to somebody over coffee or over somebody at work. And you're anointed by God just like anybody else, you know, in the Acts. If we'll just be led by God and just let that love of God compel us to do what God has called us to do, we'll be the best ambassadors that we could be and do what He has called us to do. And if we'll just set our eyes on Him, just set our eyes on Him, let Him get the glory, not trying to make things happen where they don't need to be made happen, but just go with Him, go with God, let Him be God, let us just play the part that we're supposed to play, knowing all the while that we don't have to earn anything from God, that, you know, somehow twist His arm, that He has already blessed us, that we just walk in power and in confidence, man, we'll turn the world upside down. And that's what I believe is getting set to happen, is because people are getting a hold, getting back to the gospel that it is all about Jesus And I don't mean, and that seems so trite, but I think in a lot of ways we've gone full circle where we've gotten away to all these other things that, you know, it just puts attention to man instead of just putting it right back on God. And when it's right back on Jesus and we make nothing of man, but we make it all about him and all about his working in this earth, and when we know who we are in Christ and know what's going on, we're going to see things happen.